Unstoppable with Dr. Keith Rose. Cutting down to the truth through history and experience. The Scalpel is proudly sponsored by Z-Bone's Bone Conducting Headphones. Learn more at zbones.io. Subscribe to The Scalpel wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at The Scalpel Podcast, on Twitter at The Scalpel Edge. The next episode of The Scalpel starts now.
Welcome to The Scalpel. This is Dr. Keith Rose, and we're playing a little Al Green. We're going to put a little love in our heart because we put a little missile on top of Qasem Soleimani's head. That's right. General Qasem Soleimani, who I consider probably one of the biggest terrorists of my lifetime. You're talking a guy that is cunning, a guy that is a mastermind of insurgent tactics, who has more American blood on his hand than anyone I can think of, and that would include Osama bin Laden. Qasem Soleimani is dead. And I started with the Al Green song because when I was doing my prep yesterday, before I heard that General Soleimani had been killed by a missile strike ordered by our president, I wanted to start with Al Green because I was going to segue into the failed Al Green, that representative from Texas who talks about impeachment and why they always have to impeach our president. But I left the clip on because I think this is a time to, you know, the world is a better place, as the Al Green song would go on to say. And the world's a better place because Qasem Soleimani is dead. And not only is Qasem Soleimani dead, but his brother-in-law is dead too, because he was with him and he was his number one lieutenant. So we got a twofer. So we got Qasem Soleimani, Ahmad, and I can't pronounce his last name, Mohinyes, who was his brother-in-law. It wasn't his brother, it was his brother-in-law, who was married to Mohinyes' daughter, because he was married to Mohinyes' daughter, and he was Soleimani's most trusted assistant, who was always by his side. He was a senior operator from the Lebanese Hezbollah, which is a terrorist group, special security forces. And that's going to have a huge impact in Lebanon for the good. So along with General Soleimani, his trusted aide, and Abu Mahdi al-Mahandas, the engineer, the leader of Kataib Hezbollah in Iraq, who had a long lethal history with the United States. His actual name was Jamal Jafar, but I guess he didn't like, you know, I guess he got abused as a child because he was Jamal Jafar, or JJ, or whatever. He didn't think that was terrorist enough, so he changed his name to Abu Mahdi al-Mahandas, the engineer. And he was an Iranian guard terrorist from the early 1980s who played a major role in the bombing of the U.S. Embassy in Kuwait in 1983. And this guy was really skilled at kidnapping and targeted killings. And Mohandas Group launched the recent rocket attack on the Kirkuk base and was also involved in the disturbances at the Baghdad Embassy on New Year's Eve. So the guy that was involved in that, and the number one guy for the Iranians, that is General Soleimani, are dead. They're dead because we have a president that doesn't mess around. We have a president that understands how to be decisive. Now, this is a very nice respite. This is a breath of fresh air from 8 years of dithering in President Obama, 8 years from coddling the Iranian regime. Because the Obama administration cuddled up to Iran. Obama administration gave him $150 billion. And the Obama administration gave them a path to nuclear weapons. But President Trump came in and tore up that agreement. And I would say shame on all the congressmen and senators that supported that agreement or allowed it to happen by their passive actions. Because now we have a president who is anything but passive, and he knows how to act. He understands that our situation in Iraq is the result of 15 years. It's a 15-year process of bad decision-making, feckless policies, and willful ignorance over three consecutive U.S. administrations. Our decision-making over the previous 24 years before January 2017 and Iran's responses and actions brought us to this point where we had to do something. Iran carefully navigated their engagement with President Trump's administration because they were uncertain and they were cautious. And they were trying to find how much they could push this administration. They wanted to probe it. They wanted to exploit it. They wanted to see how much they could get away with and what they would need to do to continue to push their power in the Middle East. So Iran was comfortable with the results of their previous engagement strategy spanning 24 years of planning, execution, and progress against three successive U.S. administrations. So they wanted to press the U.S., but they were wary of pressing too hard and possibly generating a response that could cause their current regime to become unstable. That's why the fact that Iranian operatives on New Year's Eve on the U.S. Embassy compound stopped the crowd from breaching the Chancery grounds in the building after forcing open the perimeter gates. Iran felt like, you know, they had made their point and they wanted to see how President Trump would respond. Because before, President Obama would do nothing. Before, President Clinton would do nothing. And I think President Bush would have done something. They didn't really probe President Bush that much. But the problem is the State Department was still infiltrated with pro-Iranian regime personnel. So when Iran confirmed the attacks on the embassy, and when we knew that the Iranians were pushing our buttons, President Trump decided to have a response. And fortunately for the American people and unfortunately for the Iranian regime, the Ayatollahs, not the Iranian people, not the good people in Iran that don't want to live under a dictatorship, it was the right response. And it was brilliantly done because when Iran first attacked the embassy New Year's Eve, it appeared that we were just going to have more of the same. I mean, they rocketed a base in Kirkuk, killed an American contractor, then attacked the American embassy. And the only response it appeared that was going to happen was we attacked some of their Hezbollah fighters and killed 25 of them. But these were just, you know, the ground troops. It really had no impact on the Ayatollah. It had no impact on their command structure. And of course, the buffoons in the military-industrial complex, the retired generals, would run to the liberal news stations like CNN, like MSNBC. And one of the biggest failures as a general, and I think as a failure as a human being, because this guy has been wrong on all major policy decisions, and he is really the poster child for what we shouldn't do in our military and how we shouldn't behave as a former general, is a gentleman by the name of Wesley Clark. He had a failed run for president, and he can't really get, I guess, much work. And I'll tell you straight out, I don't think this guy's that smart. But he had something to say right after the Iranians probed the embassy, right after President Trump had struck at some fighters. He wanted to talk about how Iran's tough. He wanted to make Iran much taller than they actually are. And he went on the national airways and had this to say, Hat Tip Gravian.
That is the best reaction to a ring I've seen on the air. Nicely done, General, but go ahead.
Thank you. They caught it, too.
Stop right here for just a second. So they're going to, nicely done, General. You know, the commentators at CNN are going to lift this guy up. They're going to tell him how amazing he is and how pithy he is. And then he's going to tell us, you know, his vast experience in military strategy, this guy that worked under President Clinton, what he would do and what the problems are. So go ahead, General. Tell us what you think.
This is a strategic problem, and the United States has to work this strategically. So the way to work it strategically is with allies. Now, Iran has its own issues in the world. It's got its foreign embassies abroad. It's got citizens abroad. It's got its terrorist units abroad. This is where we need our allies to help us. And we're going to have to eventually come back and talk about that Iranian nuclear agreement. Mm-hmm. So the U.S. response was...
That's what we're going to do. This is what he says. Iran attacks us. And then he runs to the airways and says, you know, the way we're going to have to do this is we're going to have to get our allies involved. We're going to have to go to other people. We're going to have to say, Mother, may I? Because we are not great as a United States of America. We need the world to help us. And we're going to have to go back and revisit that Iranian nuclear agreement because they're threatening us. This is a former general in the United States military who's a coward, who's a sycophant, who's part of the problem. And now I'm going to explain to you as part of the State Department's problem in wanting to coddle the Iranian administration, because I believe Iran has too many access agents in our government, too many people that influence our government. And this is quite obvious from the initial response. But thank God we have a president that puts America first. Because Wesley Clark went on to say, when pushed by the person interviewing him, who said the president had said if there would be a larger military conflict with Iran, it would be over quickly. It would be quick and easy. Is that unrealistic or a rosy prediction from the president? And of course, this failed general jumps back and says, it depends on how you define over. He said, you can go in and bomb some stuff in Iran, get in and out with your aircraft, sure, but could you actually change the government? Well, see, General, you can do more than just bomb stuff like you used to do. You can do more than just bomb nebulous targets, because President Trump went in and strategically killed with a Predator drone. That's my best guess. An armed drone. General Soleimani and one of, I believe, the four people that needed He killed two of the four people that needed to be taken off the board that will really weaken the Ayatollahs, weaken their ability to promote terror and expand their terrorist networks. Because President Trump understands something that this general evidently doesn't understand or doesn't want to understand. And that's Iran doesn't have a deep bench. They don't have a lot of guys to pull from. They don't have another just ready to step up into a command position. This strike was epic. This strike struck to the heart of the Iranians' ability to project power. Qasem Soleimani was not an insignificant person. Qasem Soleimani was someone who had huge influence in Iran. In fact, secondary to the Ayatollah, he was kind of the hand of the Ayatollah. He was lionized in Iran. He was revered in Iran. And he was a genius strategist because he understood, or he thought up until President Trump came in, he understood how America would respond to everything. And he had been pretty right over and over again. Iran has always been a problem for the United States. And they invented two things since the 1979 Islamic Revolution. First, Iran confirmed the attacks on the embassy and hostage taking worked against the United States. You remember the initial hostages taken back in the 70s. And second, they perfected the construction and use of huge truck bombs as a strategic policy tool that could achieve major policy victory. A disproportionate but successful technique. and the application of both techniques drove the U.S. out of Tehran and out of Lebanon. And they were working to finalize the Lebanization of Iraq. They wanted to drive the U.S. government out of Iraq. But this time, President Trump flipped it on him. President Trump decided that he would have a disproportional response. So when they rocketed our base, when they kind of probed our embassy, he cut the head off the tiger. He killed Qasem Soleimani. He killed one of his main senior lieutenants, and he took out the engineer, the terrorist, Abu Mahdi al-Mohandas. But there are two more people that I believe President Trump probably has in his sights, and that would be Sheikh Qais al-Khazali, who is the leader of Ashab al-Haq, the large, powerful Shia militia group that is responsible for untold atrocities against Sunnis in Iraq. He's a brutal savage, and he's also the commander of the group that led the kidnapping and murder of five American soldiers in Karbala in 2007. And I imagine right now he is not sleeping well. There's another man that wouldn't be sleeping well either, and that's Hadi al-Amiri, the commander of the Badr Corps, which is a terrorist organization founded by the IRGC in the early 1980s. And while serving as Prime Minister Maliki, this guy was appointed to transportation minister. So basically, to make this simple, this terrorist serves in the Iraqi government as a transportation minister, and he has control of all the airports, seaports, ground transportation routes, and facilities inside Iraq under the Quds Force operational system, connecting Iran securely and logistically across Iraq to Syria, Lebanon, via Basra port to Yemen, Iran, Afghanistan, and beyond. You see, Iran wanted to push their terrorist organizations past Iran, and they did. Past Lebanon, and they did. Past Iraq, and they have. Into Afghanistan, which they're there. But the problem Iran always had was that their command and control structure was outside Iran, i.e. Qasem Soleimani and his lieutenants that I just mentioned traveling around, and they were exposed. But they weren't afraid because in the past, no one had the audacity, no one had the understanding of the entire situation to take Soleimani out. But President Trump did. And he acted decisively. He didn't dither. And last year, when Soleimani taunted Trump on Instagram, threatening him, using a Game of Thrones scene, President Trump just basically unleashed his dragon and flamed him outside Baghdad airport. So while Soleimani is now nothing but charcoal, Iran is worried. And anyone that really understands that Middle East, understands the Middle East situation, knows this. But you know who doesn't know this, or who doesn't want the American people to know this? And that's the liberal elite, the mainstream media, the folks that, you know, support the Iranian regime. And I don't say that lightly. And you can see evidence of this. All you have to do is watch now how they are running to their favorite mainstream media outlets to tell us that, oh my gosh, the sky is falling. President Trump is going to get us into a war with Iran. They don't understand that Iran has been weakened. They don't understand the Ayatollah just had his primary weapon removed and he doesn't have a backup. They don't understand any of that. But you really can't fix stupid. But you can give him a show on MSNBC. So let's go to the morning joke. And he's going to have his guests on the show, and he's going to talk about what's going to happen. So let's take a listen. Cut to.
Please take us through the past several months that led up to last night's decision.
Well, this is the thing, right? Of course, President Trump.
First, right off the bat, he's having Joe Scarborough take us through the last several months that led up to the president's decision. Joe, there's been 24 years that led up to this decision. It wasn't the last several months, but President Trump, you know, the guy you've been attacking on TV all the time with faux impeachment and faux crises. You've been going after this president, the Democrats, the never Trumpers have been going after this president, yet he's still able to make decisions. And the decision he made was the right one. But you don't understand that he has to figure out where the bad guys are and how to put the strike package together. You just think it's like he decides, oh, I'm going to get this guy today, and he hits a button. So you bring on a guest and he'll explain to us how our president thinks. It's amazing how Joe Scarborough 1 minute is bashing President Trump, saying he should be impeached, and now he's wondering how he came to this decision. I mean, these guys are so stupid. They are so ideologically in the tank that they don't have a coherent thought process. And it's really entertaining if you follow this stuff to watch them just flip from one subject to another. But now they're on to find out why President Trump did this, and is he going to bring us to the brink of war? Continue.
All along, that he doesn't want to get involved in new Middle East wars. He, in fact, hesitated on a couple of occasions in pulling the trigger in retaliation against Iran. One time this summer, of course, after the attacks on the Saudi oil facility, he had pulled all the way up to the 10-minute to-go mark, then changed his mind. So to have this sort of, escalation, not just a strike, but a strike at the heart of the Iranian leadership, is a drastic change, 180-degree change in effect. There had been some concern inside the Trump administration that the president had sent signals over the past year, over the past several months, that he wasn't willing to use force if provoked, and that this, needed to be corrected in effect. But it's a big moment, I think, for this administration.
Peter, it's something that we said yesterday. I asked a question. I said, what is going to be the impact if the president's getting pushed around by Iran and being pushed around by North Korea? He has sent the signal over the past several months that there will not be a military.
You could just stop here. I mean, pushed around by Iran? Pushed around by North Korea, Joe? Now, the president wasn't pushed around. The president just killed the number one weapon of Iran. The mastermind, the terrorist mastermind of the Iranian regime, of the Ayatollahs. This is a great day. So, Joe, why don't you go back to that Al Green song and put a little love in your heart? Because the world is a better place with that terrorist gone. But you're never going to figure that out, Joe, because you can't fix stupid. You can just give them a show on TV. But that's what the Democrats do. They want to continue to attack our president. They're not happy that he made a decisive action, not for himself, but for the United States. I mean, you had Iran taunting the president the other day. The Ayatollah Khomeini said that America cannot do a damn thing about Iran's attack on our embassy in Baghdad. Well, I would tell you that President Trump just did a damn thing, and then he just dropped the mic after he dropped the missile right on the head of the number one terrorist, I believe, in the world. And he killed the Iran's Revolutionary Guard general and the person that had more influence in Iran than anyone outside of the Ayatollah, Qasem Soleimani. He's dead. And this is not debated. But now you have all kinds of editorials coming out. You have all kinds of people talking about this. And I think to understand what we, and when I say we, I mean constitutional loving Americans, people that love this country, people that revere our freedom, what we are being attacked with. Because we have a lot of globalists. You heard from General Wesley Clark talking about how we should have just gone to allies. We are up against folks that don't believe that America is great or America is good. That first, one of the first articles that came out right after the death of General Soleimani was Associated Press, and it says U.S. kills Iran's most powerful general in Baghdad strike. And it goes on to talk about Iran's supreme leader Ayatollah Khomeini warned that a harsh retaliation is waiting for the U.S. Iranian state TV carried a statement by Khomeini, also calling Soleimani the international face of resistance. Khomeini declared 3 days of public mourning for the general's death. An advisor to Iran's president, Hassan Rouhani, warned President Trump of retaliation from Tehran. Trump, through his gamble, has dragged the U.S. into the most dangerous situation in the region. Hassan Amin Abadabadu wrote, I can't pronounce this guy's name, on social media app Telegram, Whoever put his foot beyond the red line should be ready to face his consequences. Well, I think Trump's ready to face his consequences, Chuckles, because he just killed your number one piece. What he's saying is, you attacked our embassy. We didn't attack you. You rocketed our base in Kirkuk. We didn't rocket you, but you're going to give us a response. We're going to tear the head off your leadership. And that's what President Trump did. Iranian state television later in a commentary called Trump's order to kill Soleimani the biggest miscalculation by the U.S. in the years since World War II. People of the region will no longer allow Americans to stay, the TV said. Oh, you mean the TV that's run by the Ayatollahs? Wow, shocker. You know, the Ayatollahs have their TV and mainstream media, and the Democrats have their mainstream media in the U.S. You know, those Democrats that love the Iranian regime. The article goes on to say the airport strike also killed Abu Mahdi al-Mohandas, deputy commander of Iran-backed militias in Iraq, known as the Popular Mobilization Forces, and five others, including the PMF's airport protocol officer, Mohammed Reddy, Iraqi officials said. And then it says Trump was vacationing on his estate in Palm Beach, Florida, but sent out a tweet of an American flag. Yeah, anyone that knows President Trump knows that he's always working for the American people. And they say the dramatic attack comes at the start of a year where Trump faces both the Senate trial following his impeachment by the U.S. House and a re-election campaign. The article goes on to attack President Trump and to say that he's basically dragging America into a war. But what this article shows is that the globalists are scared. The Iranians, I can tell you, are scared. The other two and the four that needed to go to the happy hunting grounds are scared because our president isn't playing around. And I, for one, am thankful. I'm, for one, thankful that we have a president that is keeping his promises to make America great again. Because Iran has its tentacles all over the Middle East and Southeast Asia. And we have been coddling them for far too long. Another interesting take on this is that there's a certain professor, Syed Hussein Mousavian. He's an Iranian regime insider, and he's very close to former Secretary of State John Kerry and President Obama's inner circle. He's a Princeton professor, goes back and forth into the State Department and out of the State Department, or had in the past. So I'm kind of interested to see how that's going to play out. How this guy, who I would not know any other words to call him, but probably is an Iranian spy or access agent that's coming in and out meeting with former Obama officials and State Department officials. But I have a feeling that President Trump not only sent a message to the Iranian leadership with this strike, but also to the pro-Iranians in the State Department and areas of our government as a warning to say, hey, we're not playing around anymore. You get behind Team America or just leave. And I, for one, love it. Now, you would think the Democrats would be excited about this, right? You would think they would think, oh, man, Happy New Year. But no, they're going back after our president again. They can't help themselves. And as I started the show with the Al Green clip, we're now going to go from the famous Al Green, the singer, to the pathetic Al Green, the representative from Texas. And he was interviewed the other day by Chris Hayes. And this guy's just not the sharpest tool in the shed. And he just kind of let out everything the Democrats are thinking about this impeachment and how it started and why they're doing it. And I'm not going to speak for Al Green. I'm not going to be like a Democrat and tell you what to think and listen to. I'm just going to basically let you hear his own words, cut three.
And leveled against Democrats during this entire affair, particularly since September when the formal impeachment inquiry started. And you play a starring role in those charges. I mean, the argument goes like this of House Republicans and Trump and his allies, the president and his allies, is basically the Democrats wanted to impeach Donald Trump from day one. They cast about looking for a set of facts that they could plausibly use to do it. And all of it was pretextual and reverse engineered to get to this point. Exhibit one, Congressman Al Green, who's been calling for the man's impeachment for 2 years now. What's your response to that charge?
Well, the genesis of impeachment, to be very candid with you, was when the president was running for office, and he had members of his own party to talk about his unfitness to hold office. The persons who were running against him.
See, that's the genesis of the impeachment. People talking about President Trump, people saying negative things about President Trump. If we just want to take Al Green's thought process and carry it out to its logical conclusion, then why wasn't President Obama impeached? Why wasn't President Bush impeached? Why wasn't every former U.S. president impeached? Because people in their parties and outside their parties talk negatively about them while they were running. It's called campaigning, Al. But no, they just needed a fig leaf to impeach this president. But Al Green's not done yet. He can't stop. He's going to just run his pie hole and explain everything. Continue.
Romney spoke of his not being fit to hold office. Mr. Cruz made statements about it. So the president didn't have the luxury of persons from his party having been on his side, as it were, throughout this entire ordeal. Senator Graham has said some very harsh things about the president. With those things in mind, and with the president's behavior before us, firing Mr. Comey, who was investigating the intrusion of Russia into his campaign, our election, that was something that was not to be tolerated. And the president has continued to try to thwart the efforts of Congress to investigate.
That's not going to be tolerated. The president, the head of the executive branch, firing someone that he should have fired. And it was recommended by Rod Rosenstein to fire Jim Comey. And now it's been shown that Jim Comey is an absolute liar, failure, and human being. And the IG report's already come out and debunked everything that was in the FISA and all this Russian collusion hoax, which is what it was. You see, Al, you're part of a coup. You're part of a soft coup by a bunch of cuckoo congressmen, senators, and mainstream media and liberal elite who believe that they don't have to pay attention to the election results from 2016. They don't have to pay attention to a duly elected president because he doesn't fit the mold of what they think should be. So they can just unseat him. And so they're having a sham impeachment. And Al Green just gets out there and tells you why they're impeaching him. Yet he can't articulate one actual fact, one actual true crime or misdemeanor, crime and misdemeanor as described in the Constitution that you should impeach this president. He can't do that. He has no love in his heart, as the real Al Green would say. He doesn't want to make this world a better place. He just wants to make this world a Democrat place, which would morph into a socialism place, which would morph into tyranny. The Scalpel is sponsored by Z-Bones Headphones. Their flagship product, Z-Bones Bone Conduction Headphones, are unlike any Bluetooth listening device you have ever used. They're really amazing to hear with. Z-Bones Headphones work through bone conduction. The comfortable pads rest next to your ear, not in your ear. The sound is transmitted through the bones to your eardrum. With an open ear design, nothing is stuck in your ear, which means you maintain situational awareness or environmental awareness by hearing your surroundings. You can still hear the fullness of your music, though, or whatever podcast, hopefully ours, that you're listening to. You can even use Z-Bones while using ear protection at sporting events like races or at the shooting range. Z-Bones Bone Conduction Headphones are a Bluetooth device that work with any iOS or Android phone system or tablet, and they give you 6 hours of call time and 7 days of standby. You can put on a cap and have your Z-Bones on, and you can't even hardly tell you have anything on while you're listening to music. This is a cool headset. It's innovative technology, and I frankly love it. And I'm very happy that they've chosen to sponsor us. So go check them out. Get them at zbones.io. Use the discount code SCALPEL70 for a 10% discount. And be sure to use the Z-Bones when you're listening to the Scalpel podcast. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Scalpel. This is Dr. Keith Rose. We started out the show talking about the death of Qasem Soleimani, which I think is a wonderful thing, a great thing. I thank God our president had the stones, the intestinal fortitude to keep America safe by having the number one terrorist in the world, Qasem Soleimani, head of the Republican Guard and the terrorist hand of the Ayatollah out of Iran, killed. I'm excited about that. I think it's a wonderful thing. But the Democrats don't. They're still trying to impeach our president. They're still trying to run a soft coup against this president. And the irony is, this president keeps being successful and keeps making America great again. I mean, I liken it to the Democrats are just a bunch of ducks trying to nibble our president to death. I'm sure they would like to think that they're going to get him death by a thousand cuts, some famous art of war slash Sun Tzu type metaphor. But all they're doing is they're a bunch of ducks milling around our president, nibbling at his ankles. They don't even have teeth. They can't cut him. They just want to maybe nick the skin, cause an abrasion, hope he gets an infection that'll somehow irritate him and slow down his walk. And if they're lucky, he might get an infection bad enough to put him in the hospital to slow him down metaphorically. But all you have are ducks milling around his ankles, nibbling at him, while this president continues to just shake him off and move forward for the American people. And while he moves forward for the American people, Nancy Pelosi is trying to jump in his way, wave her arms and say, look, squirrel, or anything she can to keep him from governing. But the polls are showing that this sham impeachment isn't working. Almost every poll you see in a recent survey from Gallup shows public support for the impeachment has now dropped down to 46%. And 30 to 35% of that are just hardcore Democrats that could care less about anything. What it's showing is that the swing voters, the independents, aren't for this anymore. And that's got Nancy Pelosi concerned. So when Nancy Pelosi gets concerned, I think she probably goes to the adult beverage section or maybe to the pharmaceutical section, because as I've played in the past, many of her interviews, she kind of throws her speech and she's not doing real well. She's not real coherent. So they have to put some other people out there to prop her up. And one of those is a gentleman by the name of Representative Cleaver. And he thinks that Nancy Pelosi owns Donald Trump. He thinks she's inside his thought process or OODA loop. And this is what Representative Cleaver had to say.
Have you spoken to her at all while on recess or gotten an indication of the timing?
No, but I think it's important for people to understand. Sun Tzu in The Art of War, I'm paraphrasing him, but he said that political battles are usually based on deception. And I think Donald Trump falls for the deception that Nancy Pelosi lays out there. For example, you know, he thought, okay, we're going to get articles of impeachment. They're going to send them over to the Senate. Pelosi had deceived him. And at every turn, I think he's going to be facing the principles of the art of war. So I think that if I were Donald Trump, I would be trying to figure out what is she going to do next, because she is in complete control of Donald Trump's mind.
Are you kidding me? Nancy Pelosi's not even in control of her mind. Listen to this representative stumble over the talking points, stutter, talking about art of war. I guarantee you he hasn't read, you know, a third grade art book, much less the art of war. He thinks that he's comparing Nancy Pelosi to Sun Tzu. I would compare him more to Sonny Bono or something. She's an idiot. She's not even in control of herself. She's not controlling Donald Trump's mind. She's just desperately trying to do anything to win.
Sweep the lick.
Yeah, she's like that guy that was losing in the original Karate Kid. So his sensei told him, just sweep the leg. Nancy, sweep the leg. Don't read Sun Tzu, but you can't sweep the leg because you can't hardly stand on your own two legs. But the Democrats aren't going to go quietly into the night. They're not going to slowly just, you know, stop talking. My grandfather once told me, when you have nothing to say, just stop talking. If you're worried people are going to think you're an idiot, you can either stop talking or continue to talk and remove all doubts. And I think that's what the Democrats are doing. Recent op-ed on mass shootings from the LA Times said, you shouldn't bring a gun to church. Now you have Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats running this soft coup and falling all over themselves and showing themselves to just be incoherent on current events. And then you kind of have to morph into what they say about gun control, because while they're going after our president, they're still pushing against our Second Amendment rights. And they have a lot of writers and op-ed columns across the country helping them out. And one of them in the Los Angeles Times wrote, every disaster brings out human irrationality. When there's a plane crash, we fear flying. When there a rare disease emerges, we fear we will be infected. And when there's a mass shooting in a church, we think we should bring more guns to churches. Now, the interesting thing is this was written back on November 8th, 2017 by a guy named Tom Nichols, who is a professor at the Naval War College and the Harvard Extension School and the author of The Death of Expertise. And I would ask Mr. Nichols, you need to go back after this recent church shooting and write another book and call it, instead of The Death of Expertise, you know, The Death of Your Career, because you have no expertise. Because this guy goes on to talk about in his article from a year ago, is that everyone's afraid and they have irrational fears and they're all plagued by the problem of innumeracy. And then he likes to talk about the mathematician John Allen Paulus, who called it innumeracy, which causes them to ignore, misunderstand statistical probabilities. They fear things like nuclear meltdowns and terrorist attacks, yet have no conjunctions about texting while driving, or no compunctions about texting while driving, engaging in risky sex, or for that matter, jumping into swimming pools, which have killed a lot more people than terrorists. Well, that's true. Swimming pools have. But by this guy's own thoughts, by this guy's own logic, then we shouldn't have airbags or seatbelts. This guy's an idiot, and he talks about how we shouldn't have guns in church. The only problem is history and experience exposed this gentleman for the fraud he is. Because the other day, as everyone knows and has probably seen the video, there was a church shooting in Texas. A guy walked in to a church, pulled a shotgun, and killed two parishioners. And one of the security people, volunteers at the church, pulled his handgun and, from what I could see, approximately 50 feet away, killed the guy with one headshot. So a good guy with a gun protected over 250 people in church pews. So while an op-ed says mass shootings, irrationality, and why you shouldn't bring a gun to church, while the liberal elites tell us don't bring a gun to church, you know, folks in Texas didn't listen. And because someone brought a gun to church, there are a lot more people that can continue to worship the following Sunday. But that op-ed columnist wasn't the only one that talked about irrationality and bringing guns to church. No, Joe Biden wanted to get on that train too last year, and he wanted to talk about bringing guns to church. Because after the shooting, there was a previous shooting in a Texas church, the liberals run to the microphones. They don't want to talk about solutions. They don't want to talk about the people that actually commit the crimes. No, they just want to talk about the inanimate object used to commit it. And they're all about taking our guns. And then they're going to tell us what's normal and what's not normal. And since Joe Biden's the front runner for the nomination for the Democrats for president of the United States, I thought we should hear what he had to say about gun violence. Cut five.
And the second one is on the dealing with firearms. It is irrational, with all due respect to the governor of Texas, irrational what they're doing. On the very day you see a mass shooting, I guess the numbers now, I was on a plane the last 2.5 hours, they got up to 5 killed. And we're talking about loosening access to have guns, be able to take them into places of worship, store them in school. I mean, it's just absolutely irrational.
It's absolutely irrational. Because the governor of Texas decided that you could carry, pushed it through the legislation, that you could have concealed carry in churches. And so the Democrats write op-eds. They tell us it's irrational. The front runner, their candidate for president, tell us it's irrational. The only problem is history jumped up and smacked them in the head. Because there was another shooting in Texas. The only problem is it wasn't a mass shooting. because of a good guy with a gun. And the Department of Public Safety, the Texas Department of Public Safety director, had this to say about that, Cut 6.
Have our regional director answer those.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeff Williams. Thank you again for coming. I want to echo the comments that have already been made here tonight. It cannot be overstated how important it is that everyone recognize what took place here today. The citizens who were inside that church undoubtedly saved 242 other parishioners. And that might get swept aside in this whole conversation about active shooter response, and God knows law enforcement has done a whole bunch of work to make our response better. We needed to do that. But we're starting to find out that, as the Lieutenant Governor mentioned, over half of these are over before we get there. And I want to commend the chief
there
and his
go.
Department.
You have one of the head chief law enforcement officials in the state of Texas saying, you know what, these are usually over by the time law enforcement gets there. And he commends the citizens for caring and stopping this tragedy. That's what happens when people take responsibility for their own security. That's what happens when people understand what the Constitution means, that citizens have the right to keep and maintain and bear arms. And actually, they put that in there to keep them from a tyrannical government. But it also keeps them from living a personal tyranny and being attacked by folks that wish to do them harm. And here in the state of Texas, we hold that to be very sacred. And because of that, you don't have another mass shooting. But the liberals will never understand. They're going to continue to push these failed policies. They're going to continue to push a faux impeachment on our president because that's the only play they have in their playbook. They have to go after our president. They have to continue to nibble at his ankles. They have to continue to attack our president because they don't want America to be great. They don't want America to be good. They just want America to be another country in this big world, this big globalist population that they can control and exploit to keep and maintain power. But we have a president that said enough is enough. And I'm going to make America great again. Thanks for spending some time with me this morning. I hope you guys have a wonderful new year. I'm going to go throw on some snowboarding pants and hit the mountain and enjoy the last few days of vacation with my family. God bless President Trump and our men and women that are stationed around the world keeping us safe. A big congratulations to whoever in the intelligence community figured out where Qasem Soleimani was, and for President Trump for giving the order to smoke the bad guy. And that is making the world a better place. So for Everett and I, just go out and have some fun this weekend and keep freedom rolling.
Protest line, freedom scribbled on your sign. Headline, New York Times, standing on the edge of a revolution. Hey, hey, just obey your secret safe with the NSA. And God we trust, or the CIA.